This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thank you guys for coming out. That was really wonderful. Super cool. All right, welcome to the Underground. Cool. I do want to mention really quick, something I've never really talked about, but just mention it really quick. You know, for years, Glenn and I worked a full-time job. We did what we did. We'd come and do this piece of the Underground, then we'd go back to our full-time jobs. We worked really hard at this. But there came a time when Journey stepped forward and some other people stepped forward and said, we want these guys full-time to be able to work, not only doing the Underground, but helping people through the week, going to the rescue mission, meeting with people one-on-one, that kind of stuff. I think it's been 2 years now that Journey has paid our salary to be full-time, to give us a sweet little office to meet with people in there, and we use this building now. We just did a thing for FNA that went really, really well. I mean, it was just incredible connections there with Detox and all the groups that work for FNA. We're really established pretty deep in the community now. And so one of our visions and our hopes for this year is to start really being able to carry our own weight with the Underground. And it's not like Journey's ever leaned on us for that. You know, sometimes our offering at the Underground is like $5. What I'm trying to say is I feel like it's been a decade. We've been working super hard. We're totally willing to go work full-time, go work at Freddy's and do all that. But we are really working hard at this. We work for you. I am a recovery pastor here at Fairbanks, both of us, and we meet with people all week. We're on the phone. Was with a couple in Colorado this week, spending some real intense times meeting with families here in crisis. I mean, we are really hard at this. We believe we're following God. So if you believe in what we're doing here, I want you to know that when you give to Journey, you're helping us because they're helping us, and we're all in this together. So we really want to start pulling our own weight. Just want to mention that, how much it means to us to be able to do this. And so the older I get, you know, the less I have to lose. I mean, I want it all guns blazing. I want to go full speed ahead and serve God and help people break free. That's what we're all about. And we've trained hard. We've worked so hard at this. And I just want to keep going and moving forward. So there's my little commercial. That's what I wanted to say. For tonight's session, I want to mention, thanks for coming out. You know, I don't know where everyone is tonight. I know when I first started recovery, I was withdrawn and detoxing from so many things at so many different stages, on so many different levels. So I love it when people come out. I never know what they're dealing with. But there was a time when I had to begin knowing and believing that I'm not my physical body. I'm not this body. And this body just ruled my life. And it always threatened me with feeling really, really rotten. You know, I'll make you shake. I'll make you tremble. You know, if you don't do what I say. And I was ruled by body for so long. And there came a time when I had to believe that I was a person that lived in this body that wasn't my body. And so I'm going to make body go places and do things until I begin to recover, you know, spiritually, in the area of my soul, psychologically, and then eventually I began recovering physically as well, and everything came into alignment. So I really appreciate it. If you're making your body do this tonight, hats off to you. I really commend you for doing that. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So I was raised during the 70s. Going to go way back. Back in the 70s, right? Everyone wasn't staring at their cell phones. You're like, oh man, he's going to be one of these bitter old guys. Like, just kidding, okay? I was raised during the 70s. My parents were in the entertainment industry, entertainment business, meaning they worked nightclubs, right? They were hippies. And so my dad was a super heavy drug addict. My mom was involved in pretty heavy drug use, but my dad was off the chain, right? He was going loopy all the time. He was way out there, right? He was the one sweating in the family, right? Like, he was freaking out. He was the one that would fall through the ceiling when we're all sitting in the living room out of nowhere because he was chasing stuff that he thought was chasing him as well, that kind of thing. So when dad's a drug addict, what is he investing in me? Nothing, right? He's not really worried about me. He's really worried about himself. And so I'm not getting anything from dad. Not a woe is me story. I'm just telling you what was going on. kind of setting the stage. And so when dad's a drug addict, where's mom? Maybe I got mom, right? No, I don't have mom. Mom's chasing dad, right? She's right behind him, you know, making sure he's not spending all our money. He's not hurting himself. He's not hurting someone else. And so this is kind of the dynamic that's going on. Back in the 70s, he had drawers full of drugs and all these things. Pipes were all over our house. That's kind of how we grew up. All these different water bongs and all this stuff. And so this is kind of how I grew up. You know, no investment, like no coaching or training, like, Stan, you need to go comb your hair. None of that. See what happened? Look at this. Right? It's just not going to be neglected anymore. It's like, I'm out of here. Drawing a boundary, right? No comb your hair, Stan. No brush your teeth. No take a shower. No do your homework. No any of that. No you need to be disciplined. No bedtime. No you need to be in the house. None of that, right? So I was kind of like an organic child, right? Like a free-range chicken. I was like free-range Stan, right? You could see me with my organic chicken legs all hours of the night. My little chicken white meat legs tenderly running the neighborhood, being free-range like. That's kind of how it was, right? A lot of, you know, what goes on into a kid, and my brother and sister are the same, right? We're just running around, freaking out. Lots of time, right? Watching mom and dad do their thing, that kind of stuff. A lot of emptiness, a lot of wondering, like, what about me? Like, what's it about me? Like, what is going on? A lot of this kind of stuff. And so, but every evening I noticed this thing would go down in our home. And I hope you're tracking your family too. That's the idea. It's not all about Stan's story. You're supposed to be tracking kind of your family line as well, right? How you relate maybe. So every evening this would go down, right? Kind of a big deal. My mom was an exotic dancer. That's what they called it back then, right? And my dad was this 6'4", big time hippie dude. He was a big, intimidating guy, strong atheist, super vulgar, and he was a stand-up, X-rated comedian back in Atlanta, Georgia. This is what he did. He took the stage. He hosted these nightclubs. One of them was called the Purple Onion, you know, these really bad 70s mood ring, jade-wearing type guys. And they were entertainers, and they were really good at it. Powerful people, right? They'd go there and bring it. So in the evening, I'd sit back in the living room with my uncombed hair, unbrushed teeth, maybe scratching an itch on my tender, free-range chicken leg. And all of a sudden, like, the smells would come wafting down the hallway. My mom would be putting on this exotic, unbelievably crazy outfit. And they were all different, right? Made to order. I mean, she would be donning it, these huge eyelashes, right? All this stuff she'd put on. And, you know, I could see it kind of out of the corner of my eye. I could see parts and pieces of stuff going on. And then my dad would be in there, and you could smell the cologne. Super bad, like bell bottoms. Like, anyone remember this guy named Elvis? Like, super weird. No one knows Elvis now. Like, what is going on? What's going on? Anyway, he had these bell bottoms, 70s, these sequins, and these jade things, and he was just a bad dude. And at some point down the hallway, here they would emerge, my mom and my dad, boom, bigger than life, come walking down the hallway. Whoa, like this glorious train of entertainment. And here they come to bring it to Atlanta, Georgia, right? And me sitting there, this little boy, I'm watching this. Every night this would go down, right? And if they had friends and family or friends over that were part of it, they were all hard partiers, right? And they were making like pornography and doing huge drug deals and all this crazy stuff going on in our house. But they would all emerge, and I'd sit there, and I would think, what about me? What's for me? Like, nothing, because I want you to know it was like a parade. Mom, dad, they would go right on by, right? There wasn't anything in that for me. There's no, hey, we did all this for you, right? We're going to sing and dance your identity to you. We're going to show you who you are. We're going to bring this to you, son. This is all about telling you your story. No, none of that. It was like here and they were gone, right? Every night, shut the door. We're there alone till who knows what. several days sometimes. We'd be sitting there by ourselves, and all kind of crazy stuff went on spiritually in that house as well. So they would do this, right? Maybe you guys all went through some of this when you're young, but during Christmas time out there in Atlanta, we're out there kind of in the country, and the Christmas spirit's going on. I'm a little kid, and I go running out in the yard, and I'm all out there being my free-range chicken self. And I'm all out there, whoa, going crazy. And I remember just going, like, right in the middle of the yard, in the middle of the night, I'm like, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Like, that was the idea. Like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm out there doing this. And right in mid-Merry, right, like, not pre-Merry, not post, but mid-Merry, like, ho, 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 Merry. And I just stopped. I saw the beautiful sky, the stars. And I don't know what it was. It was just a little seven-year-old kid. I was just overwhelmed by the whole thing. Like, I'm singing out to Santa Claus. Like, who's this guy? Like, is this for real? Like, I'm calling out to something that was bigger than me. And I knew, I'm like, ho, ho, ho. Man, I'm like singing out to the universe for the first time in my life. And I kind of realized what I was doing. It just hit me. And I was thinking, here's what I was thinking. What in the world's going on, right, in this world? Like, this is just craziness. Like, I'm out here saying this. They're in there doing all that. Like, I don't get any of it, right? I just didn't understand anything. Anybody relating to any of this stuff? My dad couldn't give me identity, couldn't speak into my life, couldn't discipline me, couldn't train me. You know, he's this wild man. My mom certainly didn't know. She barely knew English, right? Okay, how about this? And you think about this about your family. Think about this. What about your grandparents, right? My grandfather on my mom's side, and he was this wealthy farmer in Okinawa, but he donned on a military outfit, joined the military. In World War II, he gets captured, taken to China, and he ends up in like a concentration camp type thing. He starves. He gets starved to death, dies as a prisoner of war in China. There's my grandpa. Well, there's some identity there. My Asian family, I can kind of say they're warriors. No, I mean, kind of, right? So there's something there. Maybe for me, I never knew him. He never spoke into my life. I don't know if he ever thought of someone like me. But you wonder, right? Okay, not a lot there, maybe. My dad's father, my grandfather on my dad's side, bigger than life, 6'6" cowboy, like Colorado cowboy, comes with beef jerky, like action figure, beef jerky included, cowboy boots, right, tobacco, whatever. There's not a lot of identity there, right? I met him before. He never had anything to say to me. Like, there's not a lot going on there. I want it. I'm reaching for it. Like, in other words, little boy out there looking at the stars, what's going on? Deep calls to deep is what the scripture says. Is there something in you like that? Are you guys with me? And deep was calling to deep. And that's what the scripture talks about. The deep was calling to deep. What in the world? Is there something that's calling back like I'm calling, okay? So I wondered if other people thought the same way as I did, but it was a very strange experience. So my point is, where am I going to get my identity from? To how I'm going to live my life? I'm not going to get it from me. I'm not even combing my hair. I'm not even brushing my teeth, right? I'm not even exercising my free-range chicken legs. A little, okay? A little. Maybe other people got it. Right? Maybe other people are going to give me identity. So I go over to a neighbor's house, go over to friends that are living there in the area. They thought I was the weirdest person in the world. Super strange. And some of the dads that knew my parents, you know, their wives didn't know that they knew them. But they just thought we were strange people, and we were. But some of those families, I noticed the atmosphere in their home was so different than mine. You guys ever notice that? Like, what was important to that family was different. Like, some of them were really academic, super strong into little Johnny's schoolwork. You talk to the family, and they're showing the report cards and the schoolwork and the discipline. and he's rattling off memorized stuff that I didn't know what it was. Some of them were very wealthy. I remember the first microwave oven I ever saw. Check that out. Isn't that cool? You guys are like, wow, that's amazing. Whenever we did see a picture on a screen, we didn't like do stuff to it like this, whatever, you know, or go like that to it, or nothing like that. I noticed this. Other people aren't going to tell me truth because they're seeing through a filter called their family, right? They're seeing things through the values and the beliefs they got from their parents, which who knows where that's coming from. Like, this is kind of what's going on, at least in my brain, this is what's going on. And it's a proven fact, guys, that stuff is handed down to us from our parents. No question about it. I can give you all these statistics you don't want to hear about people that come from divorced homes, the likelihood of you experiencing a divorce, how high that is. People that come from a home of alcoholics, drug use, the odds of that person becoming an alcoholic themselves, the way we learn how to eat and view food is handed down to us from our parents, and they got it from their parents. So much about money. What about this? Throw this one in here. See what you think and believe. I know people that can track their family line and show a pattern, a super clear pattern of violent death that is passed down and goes through their family line. Whoa! Like, for real. Bitterness, right? Racism. Victim thinking, enormous. Victim thinking will destroy your life almost faster than anything, right? So, what I'm saying is there are certain traits and tendencies each one of us carry. We all carry it. Because those things are louder in your family of origin than other behaviors and things that are important. Those things are coming through louder than others, no doubt. So, I'm not going to get my identity from myself. I'm not going to get my identity from anybody else, because how can I trust your source? Where in the world, that little boy standing out in the yard looking in the stars says, what can I put my feet on and count on that's rock solid, 100% truth, that I can say, this is truth, and I'm going to build my life on this truth? Guys, I have seen demonic stuff go on. People that haven't experienced a demonic realm act like you're crazy when you start talking about it. And the demonic realm is so real. I have seen my father capture these things in a laundry hamper and go collect every belt in the home type command that happened very often in our home. And we would wrap, I thought he had a raccoon, you know, or the neighbor's dog. In this thing, he's got blankets and covers and laundry hampers, plastic, and we're strapping these belts around. And I watched my dad, this thing begin to vibrate, and this thing wanted out, and him actually put his whole body weight on it, and I watched him lift completely in the air, and then the whole thing blew apart. And what was in there? Nothing I could see. And then, you know what it was next that was told to me? Like, I'm 7, 8. Go to bed. Never mind. And the madness continued. Like, and I'm laying there in bed, like, you know, I'm petrified. Super petrified. This stuff is real stuff, the demonic realm. I need solid truth to live my life by. What is bigger than that thing? Like, what's stronger than that thing? You know, that kind of weird, bizarre stuff, right? And I don't talk about it a lot because people get all caught up in it, and I don't want to do that. Like, we're sitting around a campfire telling ghost stories. And my brother was really good at it. Right when the fire was the perfect height, and right when the story reached a certain point, my brother would always do the same thing. Right when there was a certain amount of silence, he'd go, bleh, like that, and everybody would be like, you know, marshmallows flying, whatever. I heard a missionary pleading with his congregation, wanting support to go reach these people. And I know, Greg, you'll have heard all this before, but he had them shut all the lights out. for like a minute, bam, and just silence. I mean, completely. And he said, in the darkness, he said, this is how those people are living 24 hours a day. And then he turned the lights on and said, now help us, you know. I mean, it's a pretty big deal, right? That is so, I so relate to that, guys. I so relate to living in the darkness of I have no idea what is going on in this world. No clue whatsoever. I'm living in darkness, right? Okay, check it out. Let me start right here. Take my cues from some of the stuff you had read before too, Tony. Think about that little uncombed hair little boy. Think about yourself too as well in this, okay? You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. He saw me before I was born, right? Every day of my life was recorded in his book. This is me. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God. Me, little ho, 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 meh, Merry Christmas, me. That's me. Now, part of me says, don't mess with me. Like, don't mess with me saying this stuff to me, because this is answering a deep, calls to deep. This is like answering my heart, what I'm saying out there in the night. Don't mess with me. This is too sweet to be known on that level, right? Don't mess with me with this, right? You guys feel some of that sometimes, right? And when, what he's saying is, before your birth certificate was pulled out and one little mark of ink was even dotted on that thing, before your birth certificate even came out of the drawer, you were already known, full and complete, every day that you would live. What does that do for you? We're like, whoa, wait a minute, right? When you get up and you wake up in bed and you got all this, we used to call it duck butter in your eyes, and you squeeze the duck butter out and you blink. Guess what, guys? He knows you and he loves you and he was waiting for that beautiful moment. And your little feet hit the ground. He knows you. He's saying, I know you, boy. I know you, Stan. I know you. I look from afar and I see the shape of your little head. I see you walking about. And I know what's going on in it from far, far. Oh, I know you. I know exactly what you're thinking, what you're up to. I know what's worrying you. I got you. I know you. And my heart says, don't mess with me. This is too sweet. Standing there in this weird place, guys. Could someone really say that to me and know me that well? What about all these lies? Like, I was a little thief, too. Right, I had a lot of time because I didn't comb my hair, didn't brush. I had a lot of time, so we'd run around stealing. I'd steal, and then when they'd catch me point blank, I'd be lying. Nope, didn't take it. Nope, I'd lie point blank. What about all that garbage, right? What about all my lying, thieving, stealing, drug use, stealing drugs from my dad, all these things? What about that? I want to hear God's heart about that, guys. If you're wondering, listen to his heart towards you about whatever the stuff is you're all in the middle of, you think disqualifies you. He's saying this. He's saying, come now. Come on. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Come on, let's talk about it. Like, let's settle this deal between us. All this stuff you're thinking disqualifies you. Let's talk, right? I'll make them white as snow, though they are red like crimson. Yeah, they're bad. I'll make them as white as wool. This is his heart towards you on this. This is his heart towards me. Like, come on then. Let's sit down on the table here. Let's lay it out. Come on. Let's have a conversation. And let's talk about what I can do for you, what I've already done. Let's have a discussion. What does that mean to you? What does that do for you? Right? I'm pretty blown away by this whole thing. Okay, I've got Colossians 1:13. May you be filled with joy. I hear, may you be filled with joy, Stan. Always thanking the Father. Okay, I feel the concrete widening under my feet on this. How about you? In many directions. It's growing. I'm feeling it. He has enabled you to share. Those are wonderful words when it comes from God, right? In the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Boom, right? For he has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness. That quivering laundry hamper that blew apart and terrified you beyond all your words. He's delivered you from that whole realm, Stan, and you're now living in the kingdom of light, right? He's rescued you from the kingdom of darkness, transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. He purchased your freedom, forgave your sins. So what he's saying here is you need a brand new identity. You were born from some family line. Stuff was given to you. Got physical body, right? You need to be born again into the family of God. His family, his kingdom, his stuff. This is what he's saying, right? This is deep calls to deep stuff. This is a deep calling to deep out in the ho, 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 Merry Christmas realm where this little boy goes, what's out there? What's happening? Does anybody care? Is there any answers? He's saying a resounding, yes, I'm here. I'm hearing you. Let's talk about it. You can be mine. You could be part of my family. How would you like that? I'm desperate for identity, guys, growing up. Desperate for identity. Anybody here desperate for identity growing up? Desperate for something I can do that no one else can do, something to make me special, some way to look good, some way to feel good, some way to be different than other people. I needed identity, guys. I needed identity. I didn't want it. I needed it. How about I get on a plane, fly all the way over to China, right? I'm on a plane. Here we go. I land in China, get off, get one of those little rickshaws. I don't know if they have them over there. Find my grandfather's grave, clear it off, get a shovel, dig him up, get his casket out, pry open the lid, get his little Japanese warrior outfit on, his identity that I now need. Give me identity. Give me it. Peel it off of him and put it on. What do you guys think of that, huh? It's disgusting, I hear. It's disgusting. I could do that with my grandfather, cowboy. But I do that very, very thing, guys, when I choose to think like my father in his perversion and his drug addiction and his ways. I do that in so many ways now. When I put on those attitudes and I put on their way of life, their way of thinking, their behaviors, and I say, this is the family I hail from. This stinky shirt that's really affecting you, my community, came from him. And I'm wearing it, right? That is exactly what I'm doing. And that's not like a harsh message. I'm just saying, I have done it and I still do it in ways. When we put something on, guys, it so changes us. How many of you are here? How many of you have seen my wife step out in her leathers when she's going to go on her motorcycle biking? Anybody see? You guys see that? How many of you recognized her at all? Like, nobody. I mean, she rides a 1450 Road King, gigantic monster of a motorcycle. And I want you to know, when I came to Alaska, like the stories about her riding a motorcycle were just legendary. We went to a biking little convention, Chena Hot Springs Road, and we walked in and there was all these bikers. And when she walked in, everybody stood up and applauded, like, yeah, right? And I'm like, whoa, who am I with? Right? And they were telling me all these stories about her riding on this motorcycle and the way she rode and how she rode. And I want you to know, when you see her put that on, I'm telling you the honest truth, she completely transforms. She's a very different person. And if you ask her about it, she's like, you have to. You can't be this little ha 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 giggly little person and ride that thing and live. You got to put on a completely different way to do this thing. It's true. She is way bad on that thing, right? If we start getting in an argument and she's wearing that, I go ahead and go change clothes. We'll talk about it after you change. I recognize that the same way my parents transformed in our home when they emerged down that hallway, they had changed in identity so drastic. I wanted something like that. For me, I did. When we do our little karate things, you see people put on their outfits, they change. And they want to live up to the rank they've been given, which is a lot of pressure. Okay, and this touches on the number one reason Jesus says that people do not change in a lasting way. The number one principle of habit changing that he talks about, where a demon leaves a person and is cast out of a person, like blown away from a person, and then it comes back after a time, and there's nothing there. It's just vacant. And Jesus talks about this, the importance of replacement, the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that when it comes back to check out what's going on, it's got no place to be. Does that make sense to you guys? I cannot tell you the power of Bible study with a group. I mean, people that you love. If I sat down every single week with you guys and we studied this word together, what is this verse saying? What does it mean? Let's pray about it. This is how it challenges me. This is how I'm not living that. This is what I need help for. This is what I need you to commit to me for. The power of Bible study and prayer together. Does that sound religious to people? I mean, the power of it. I'm telling you guys, we hear a lot of stuff back there in that office. And I can't tell you, 9 times out of 10, all those problems would be solved if a person would commit to sitting down and doing such work with people they trust and love. Do you guys know that? Like getting into this stuff. All right, most of you guys here know this. Most of you guys have heard this, that we think an average of 60,000 thoughts a day, right? You get most of you guys here have heard that number, right? But what most people don't know is that 98% of those are the same thoughts you thought the day before, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before. True story. Thus, the importance of challenging those thoughts, challenging those ways, challenging them through prayer with people you love. I'm not talking about a religious program, guys, where I'm going to read the Bible and pray, and now I'm a good boy, and I'm all robotic, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a living, breathing thing where we are after this. Do you or do you not believe Jesus is the Son of God? Is he king or isn't he king, right? My declaration and my allegiance being pledged to him, how desperate a fight is that for me that I want to live for you and give you my life and I want to serve you well. And so I'm going to do this stuff, right? Everything he expects of us is based on what he's done for us already. True story. That's a true story, right? All right, check it out. You're done with that old life, little Stan. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes. You stripped them off and you put them in the fire. Didn't say you stick them in a drawer in case this Christian thing doesn't work out. Doesn't mean plan B, right? It's saying here you stripped them off, thrown them in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Boom, right? Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. words like Jewish, non-Jewish, religious, irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized, uncouth, slave, free, they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone's included in Christ. What in the world was all that, right? It means it doesn't matter if you come from a drug-addicted home, doesn't matter if you come from a divorce home, single-parent home, alcoholic home, lying-stealing, cheating home, religious home, Jewish home, black home, white home, Japanese home, doesn't matter any of that stuff. None of that matters. What matters is you get to be a son or daughter of God. That's it. You're in. He's not checking that stuff. Can everybody say wow?
Wow.
Can we say wow backwards? Wow. That's funny. I thought that was funny. Took me a lot longer to figure that out when I said it backwards. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has checked me out on the front line, guys, under the same stars on that same night. Check me out now, standing there right now. Check me out. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation, drape me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels, gems. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. In other words, he's going to give you identity, and then he's going to begin bringing life. Everywhere you go will be life. Hey, everywhere I went before was death. Everywhere. Oh, you like me? I'll become part of your family. And then I bring the whole thing down. Death. Right? Didn't do it on purpose. Just happens. I'm on this job now. I'm part of this company. Death. I'm bringing them all down like a drowning person, right? I'm so tired of bringing death. I told Glenna one time, I am so sick of Christmas coming around and I never have a thing to give. I'm only hoping I get something I can cash in on so I can get some more stuff. I'm so sick of being that dude. He's saying, I give you a new identity. I dress you to the nines. And then I will begin bringing life. You will be a resource that represents God, and you will do it well. Some people in here are going to write a book, and it's going to blow people away. Some people are going to write some of these devotionals that someone else needs. Some people are going to start a podcast or begin a program or begin doing things in your own way that are going to blow people away. Life is going to come from you big time. Let me see here. Check this out. So being sent on this mission, here's what I want you to do. That's what it says. Romans 12, the message. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Check that out. If you were adopted into the home and family of a king and queen, really, if you were adopted into a home of a royal family, you would inherit a brand new set of relationships and a brand new way of thinking, a brand new set of responsibilities. This is what he does for us, right? This is what he does for us. And guys, we so enjoy that relationship with God. When you live as a king's son or daughter, spiritually here, when you live that way, my higher self, you live in his household. There's conversations you have with God throughout the day when you're in the kitchen, making your bacon and eggs, getting dressed, doing laundry. You're talking while you pass through the hall. But then there's those conversations you have when you know your dad's a king. He's the king, and you treat him so. And there are times when Glenn and I know this is a petition, And we're not just talking in the living room. We're not just chit-chatting about the beautiful day. We fast, making sure body knows who's boss. We fast, we pray, and in the right time, we approach our Father the King with our request, and we bring it before Him in humility, knowing He will assess my request, and He will make the wisest decision about it and bring me the answer. Does that make sense? Our Father, the King, deserves that kind of respect. So in my family of origin, I want you to know, back in the 70s, my hippie parents, all the stuff that went on, being kind to another person, showing love, was just an extra. If everything was going right and the party was just right, oh man, I helped this one guy, I needed help, and it was always this extra thing. And I want you to know, this new family I am now part of, I've been adopted into this new family, it's not an extra thing. It's the main thing my family's doing. It's the main thing we're doing. What is getting in the way of you loving other people just like Jesus? Right? I want you to know that any response that comes from you in any situation that's not like Jesus is dysfunctional by God's standard. Christ, Jesus is the response that's functional. It's the only one. And so we're after that response. What does love look like? What's stopping me from loving my community? What's stopping me from loving my wife? What's stopping me from loving people? And it's got to go. Because this is what my family's doing. It's about love, right? And if you do this, if you set your heart to love others just like Jesus, I promise you will be contested every step of the way. You will be fought every step of the way. Because simple acts of love, I promise, change the world. So set your heart to love others. And so when I do that, guess what? He gives me something else to wear. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Wow, guys, I get armor. Chicken tender gets armor. I get armor, custom made. Me, armor of God, right? Sorry, Grandpa, I don't need that outfit. Let me get that dirt back over here. Sorry I disturbed you. I got armor. Okay. I'll just close this out. We have some wonderful things that we're going to be going into in the future here, and I just love them, love them, love them. I want you to know something. John says that our faith is the victory. And I want you to know this at deepest level, deepest level. Deep calls it deep. When you believe, you are absolutely secure in God's love. When you exercise faith, I am loved at deepest level. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I am totally forgiven, right? And I'm super important because I'm His. When you believe that, that faith in that identity doesn't bring you the victory. It says that is the victory. That is the victory. It just says. Like, in other words, when you believe it right now, from where you are, who you are, in your situation, when you exercise faith, that's true. You just got the victory. You're standing in it. Now the hard part is continuing to walk in it. Continuing to believe that you are who He says you are. Let me read you this one final verse and I'll close. I want you guys to know this at the deepest level. Because I'm still a little boy inside. And I know that you guys are just grown-ups, but we still have that, right? In so many ways, I'm still standing out on the front lawn in amazement and wondering, what can I put my feet on? What can I know is true? What can I count on? Who will ever be consistent with me? Like, there's this deep calling to deep. And I want you to know who answered me. I want you to know who answered me. And I want you to know who answers you, if that's your call. It says this. This is Revelation 19, says, I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. And its rider was named Faithful and True. That's his name. That's his name. That's who answered me. Someone who would be faithful and true, who's committed to me, whose wedding band goes on for eternity. He's covenanted in himself. He's made a covenant with me. He's made a vow to me to be faithful to me forever and true. And true. He's mine. He's mine forever, and I'm his. I get to ride with Jesus. I do, and I will. What a powerful thing, right? So this is our opening fall session. We're going to talk about this at length through the fall and winter and try to hit this from all the angles and ways that we get attacked in this, things that we'll doubt, things that will throw us off. And we're going to talk about this, and I hope that you guys join me and bring other people, because we want to talk about trauma. We want to talk about wounds. We want to talk about the things that throw us off and keep us from seeing our true identity in what he's done for us. So I'll pray. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for being faithful and true. And I pray that each and every one of us, at some time tonight, tomorrow, when we don't expect it, when we're vulnerable, when our little head raises off the pillow and we're rubbing our little duck butter eyes, or when we're walking about, we'll sense your gaze upon us, that you know what's in our little head. You know what we're thinking. You know we're scared. You know what we're worrying about, what we're up to. And no matter what that is that we're doing, we would feel you love us. Feel you love us. And that love would go to the very bottom of our hearts. And we just say thank you for that. I pray that on everyone tonight. Bless everyone here. Just bless everyone. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.